across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
Going to discuss something. We have to come back down to earth from my sunny halls in San Pedro, and we have to come back to discuss yet another housing crisis. Always on speaking to people about different developments. This one, oh, this really takes the biscuit. To discuss the recent decision by An Bord Pleanála to approve the huge development. I mean, it's supposed to be 1,047 units, up to 14 floors in addition to 56 new council homes, and it's going to be at O'Devany Gardens. It's just unbelievable, really. I have Councillor Janice Boylan to talk about this morning. Hello, how are you, Janice?
Hey, Adrienne, I'm not too bad. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Oh, delighted to have you on. But as always, another strange one, really, with An Bord Pleanála. What is going on with them? Why are they giving permission to these crazy developments?
I honestly haven't a clue. They're taking, I think, what we all have been saying in relation to the need for housing to the extreme, because as much as we need housing, we certainly don't need them in these type of developments. They need to be in line with, you know, what the community is looking for in the first place, and obviously then in line with what actually fits the skyline, fits the area that you're looking to put these new homes into. And to be honest with you, I just don't know how they're coming up with these agreements to allow these to go through when they are in contravention to the actual city development plan in relation to the heights and some of the unit types as well. So I couldn't answer that question, honestly, to say why they're doing it and where they're coming up with the reasons, to be honest.
Yes, yeah. And, I mean, residents have, you know, given their opinions on this. They're really dead against it. There's been uproar over it, and as you say, it's contrary to what's laid down there. I mean, like, the height restrictions, everything about it is just crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like they have pulled down Ballymun flats in order to just raise the skyline again with more just down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, people in the inner city are well aware that, you know, there's a shortage of land as such, and mm-hmm. you know, they're okay with going up certain heights. The flat complex that was there originally was a 4-story flat complex. It was high enough. I'm actually sitting in St. Mickens now at the moment because I have a community meeting after this interview. These are 4 stories as well. Fit in line with what's around it. I mean, you've got the big church there on Church Street. It fits in line with the flat complexes here. But if you had a 14-storey tower here, it would absolutely tower over every single thing else. And there's even a student accommodation block beside us that's only 6 stories high. So, I mean, I have said loud and clear, all of the constituents and community people that I've spoken to, they haven't got problems with height per se, because they understand that in a city, you have to go up if you want to build homes. But what they're saying is you don't have to go to those levels, and you have to make sure that you're meeting all the demands of what's actually needed. We are in a housing crisis. We've 22,000 people on the housing list at the moment. We've 4,000 families in homeless accommodation at the moment. We've got people in rented accommodation who are struggling to put their food on the table because of the cost of their rental properties. And then we have first-time buyers who are absolutely being bought out of the market by speculators and developers who are coming in and buying up the houses cash straight away. So, I mean, it's just not reflective of what the needs are for our community, and we are coming out loud and clear and saying that. And this, as I said, has been led by the community. This is us taking our lead from the community, and I've done that from day one, Adrienne. I've always listened very intensively to the community and what their needs are, and tried to put them forward. But unfortunately, in this circumstance, that wasn't heard and hasn't been heard.
I know, and that's the unfortunate thing. I mean, like, there's a development here in the Coolock village, and it's really like it's going up and up and up, and it's taking the sunlight away, you know, and it's a huge development, which the planners from on board Planola came out and said that it wasn't viable. They also did that down by the Chivers site, and yet they're just disregarding even their own planners and they're going ahead with this. So what can be done? I mean, what would your strategies be to try to change this?
Well, at the moment, I mean, when you could put in the observation to on board Planola, we would have obviously encouraged people to do so, and they did. They done it in their droves. They put in the submissions, but obviously it was granted. So at the minute now, as far as I can see and make out, there is a group of people who have come together called STODA, Stony Batter O'Devney Gardens, against this development. And what they're doing is they're looking at the prospect of a judicial review. I attended one or two of their meetings recently, and what they're trying to do is to try to garner enough support to have the funding available to go ahead with this judicial review. Now, a judicial review, Adrian, I think I spoke to you before about this when we were speaking about Moore Street. It is an absolute, you know, the cost of it is absolutely phenomenal. It's out there with, like, you're going up over $500,000, as far as I can make out from speaking to some of the people involved. So it is really kind of a very serious process that these people are trying to engage in. And it is the only thing now that can be done if there is a chance of having this stopped, because other than that, it's just going to go ahead. But this is the only thing that can be done.
And, I mean, this very same thing happened with the Coolock development here. It went, you know, they just railroaded it through. It's going up. That's it. Nothing to be said. Nothing to be done here. Move along. And the residents set up a group. But sorry, there's a lot of stuff going on there in the background. But the
I'm actually in the flat, so it's very nice.
Oh, right.
And it's just, you know, yourself.
Yes, yes. They're out protesting as we speak. But, you know, they were the same. They would have had to go to judicial review. And is this, do you think this is a ploy by on board Planola that they're just railroading and walking over people because they know they're not going to be able to come up with that money? Or else then if they do, then that's money for them, you know.
What I always say is there's a method to the madness. So I can't actually turn around and say that's what I think on board Planola is doing. But there is always method to madness. You know what I mean? You always have, there's always reasons and rhymes and whys that these developments will be given the go ahead. They are the governing body over application. The book does stop with them. Even if it's a Dublin City Council plan, we obviously would make our submission to DCC forces, and ultimately it goes to Ambar Planola for the final decision. So they are where the book stops, but this judicial review is the only mechanism available to anybody who's looking to take it one step further once the decision has been made, because there's no mechanism there to have a review of it within Ambar Planola, or to, you know, take it back out again and have a look at it and do that. There's nothing that allows that. They don't permit that. So the only thing is the judicial review.
But what's the point in having rules and regulations there set up, height restrictions, different things, if they're just going to go against it each time? Can the housing minister not stand in or do anything about this?
Absolutely. It only takes a change in legislation. The housing minister has the power to change legislation when it comes to this. Sure, you looked at what they did the last time. People, developments now that are under 100, you don't even have to go. They're fast-tracked through. You've got all the distributed accommodation units fast-tracked through. So there's ways and means about it. The red tape is always there, but the actual person that has the ability to change that through legislation is, of course, the housing minister. And that doesn't seem to be coming forward at any stage. It's always a wink and a promise and a nudge and a whatever else, but there's no actual action taken on it.
Yes, but now if he was to say, like you'd said yourself there earlier, that housing is required, it is needed. So what do you propose? What do you propose? Where do you propose we put these houses, or how do we house people if we don't put a thousand units here?
See, the 1,000 units, they're over, it's 1,047. The units that are going there, the majority of them are private, and they're going to be very, very expensive. And the fear is there that is that people are going to be moving into these, and they're going to be rented out and stuff like that. So you're not going to get the stability of a community forming. Mm. They're neglecting one side completely of the housing crisis while promoting another side of it, where they need to be more holistic. They need to look at all of the angles. For example, our policy would be any site that's developed within Dublin City and across the country in the middle of a housing crisis would have to be 33% social, 33% affordable to rent, and 33% affordable to buy, which would cover all of the needs of all the constituents that we're all dealing with on a daily basis. Because, Adrian, I've said this before, I mean, I am continuously contacted by people from across all sectors of the community who are in different situations with the need to housing. It's not just people on the social list. It's not just people in rented accommodation. It's not just people looking to buy their own homes. It's all of those. So we need to have policies that reflect all of those needs.
Most definitely. I don't know. It just seems to be the developers are the ones that are making it big in this, and they're not thinking of the ordinary people, the ordinary workers.
Absolutely.
Even, it's not, as you say, it's not even like just social housing. There's people who want social housing who are out working and are probably now in bed and breakfasts around the country. They've been made homeless by landlords. And like the housing crisis has just, it's gone way out of control, that they need to be sitting down and putting out a proper strategy, on how to solve
absolutely.
It. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, look, I'm in St. Mickens now at the moment, and I know some of the residents here who work full time, and your rent is obviously paid in the increment that you earn. So whatever DCC will choose to have your rent be, it's based on the income that's coming into the family. So there's people in these flat complexes that would be paying up to €160 a week for their rent. And I mean, they're not in mansions. They're small flats. They're in great need of regeneration and repair. And they are paying every week up to €160 for the rent. And then you get, some people who look down their nose on people in social housing. Oh, sure, they're getting this for that. They're getting everything for free. That's not the case. I mean, these people are still paying their rent, keeping the upkeep of their home and their community as good as they can possibly in the circumstances that they're in. Because some of the flats, I've been in them, Adrian, they're falling. Like the walls are falling down on top of the people with the dampness and the condensation. Like it's beyond it. So we need to be looking at policies that are going to address all of the housing needs. We cannot just focus on building for developers to make money on. We need to be building homes for people, communities for people that stretch across the wide spectrum of what the needs are.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Mm. And not making the fat cats fatter.
Richer. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely, definitely. So is there anything that people can do to help out? I mean, is there a petition that's going on, or is there anything that, how can people help?
Yeah, there's a petition going on in relation to the Stony Batter O'Devney group and looking for the judicial review. There's a group of people who have come together. They're giving leaflets out around the area. They're also holding public meetings and stuff like that. So I suppose people could just support it. Come up and support the people when they know that there's a protest going on. Put it on Facebook or social media, all stuff like that, like anything like that that they can do to support it, absolutely. Because I mean, coming together will always be better than staying apart.
Definitely. And on that note, that's a nice thing to say. And on that note, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much, Janice.
Okay,
I know you're in a hurry
to
another meeting.
Yeah,
not at all.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Now, Janice Boylan, hard working Janice Boylan there. She's always on the move to something else. And see how you can get on, you know, I think maybe Uplift might even have something on it. But do show your support to these people, because it's going to be a monstrosity, another nightmare in the making.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.